You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning, church. It's such an honour to be able to bring the word this morning. Yeah, I'm excited too, Arzy. Come on, how good is it that we can come around the word together as a church? And it's my heart and my prayer this morning that God would speak to each of us as individuals through his word. Amen. Well, this morning I'm sharing around grow and go and the idea of being planted. So are there any avid gardeners here this morning? None at all? No. Look, I know for a fact there are some people here that you can SMS them a photo of a plant, and not only will they give you the scientific name, but how to look after it, you know, when you should plant it, how often you should water it. We have our very own walking plant encyclopedias in this church, so. But I can tell you for sure that I'm definitely not one of those people. In fact, I've even managed to, I was going to say kill, but we'll go a bit lighter. I wasn't able to keep a succulent alive. Yeah, I know. You roll your eyes. And it doesn't help that our cat loves to eat anything that's alive with a leaf. But I have to say, myself and my wife, Emily, in our growing maturity and by the grace of God, that we've been able to keep a couple of lily pillies alive in the backyard. So praise God for that. It's amazing. I couldn't have done it by myself. We couldn't have done it alone. We needed God in that. So, you know, this year our declaration as a church is to grow and go. You know, I believe that this is a prophetic declaration for us. You know, it's more than just some words that we put on a wall, but this is a truth that God is calling us to. It's a truth that God is drawing us to as individuals and as a church collectively. So one of the foundational scriptures is Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. You know, in order to grow, we need to be planted. You know, in this verse, it encourages us to grow our roots down deep into him, deep into God. And this morning, we're going to unpack what this means, explore how we can become planted, how we can grow deep roots, and what the result of that is. So we're going to get a little bit horticultural this morning. I said that I'm not very good at growing plants, but I've done some research. You can see me for the references after. But you know, when you think about a tree, you know, what is it that we see? You know, they're beautiful, magnificent, living things with huge tree trunks and leaves, and some even sprout amazing flowers or fruit. And it's amazing that they could grow from such a small seed. But maybe the most important part to the tree and the life of the tree is what is unseen. You know, there's a whole ecosystem that we can't see. The whole foundation of the tree, what the tree is built upon, the roots of the tree, it's unseen. You know, the roots of the tree, what's the purpose of them? You know, the roots of a, I looked this up, this is from an encyclopedia. The roots of a tree serve to anchor it to the ground and gather water and nutrients to transfer to all parts of the tree. They are also used for reproduction, defense, survival, energy storage, and many other purposes. You know, there's so much life, there's so much nutrition, protection and preservation to the tree and the roots that's unseen. You know, this growth that occurs when a tree is planted, you know, it happens in a way that we can't see it immediately. It happens even before it becomes visible. And we've got a video, a time lapse of a tree. There we go. I think it's a spinach, actually. You can see how far the roots grow down. They just keep growing and growing. And then eventually you start to see signs of life. You start to see the result of the deep roots that the plant has grown. You know, this kind of growth, you know, it's exactly the kind of growth that Paul's talking about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. You know, when we grow our roots down into God, he provides all these amazing things for us. But the results aren't always immediately visible. You know, it takes time. Because before we can grow, our foundation has to be in the right place. Because just like a tree, where our roots are, where our foundation is, that's where we draw our nutrients from. That's where we draw our life from. And be encouraged that when you find yourself planted in Jesus, when you make the decision to make Him your foundation, we get to draw from a life source that never ends, that never runs out. You know, a source that is perfect, a source that is powerful. I mean, isn't that amazing? Such an amazing source for us that's available to us. So how is it that we can become planted? How do we grow deep roots? Well, before Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, Paul provides some examples of what this could look like. So from verse 1, it says, "I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all those who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments, for though I am absent with you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith is in Christ." You know, we see at the start of that scripture that Paul's working hard. He's contending for them. And you know, growth is something that takes some time and it takes some effort. You know, can I encourage you that growth is a journey, it's not an event. You know, we don't wake up one day and decide that we're going to be fully grown, spiritually mature people. You know, it's not like how we think our New Year's resolutions are going to work. You know, it's like I'm going to go to the gym and then, you know, next week I'm going to be fit and I'm going to have big muscles. You know, that's how we want them to be, but it doesn't work like that. You know, you can't decide, you know, tomorrow I'm going to go run a marathon. You know, I don't even know if those couch to 5K programs work very well. You know, you can't decide overnight that you're just going to become a doctor, because there's a process of building, there's a process of learning, of developing and of growth that has to occur before we can walk these things out. You know, if you think about the redwood tree, the Californian redwood tree, you know, if you've been to the Otway Ranges, you would have seen some amazing redwood trees. You know, it takes time for these trees to grow. You know, the ones in the Otway Ranges, they were planted in 1936. Now, that was a while ago. Sorry if you were born before that. But some of them are over 60 meters tall now, and they're continuing to grow. You know, it might have slowed down, but they're continuing to grow. You know, they've been able to weather the storms, the elements, even the tourists as well. But each of these trees, they're growing at a different rate. You know, they're part of the same ecosystem, but they're on a different journey. And you know, this paints a picture for us of what our journey looks like. You know, it's a beautiful journey that we go on with God, of building, of learning, of developing, and of growing. And it never stops. You know, we never stop growing. We never stop learning. You know, there's always more that we can learn about ourselves and more that we can learn about God. You know, it takes time and it takes focus. You know, when we talk about the journey that we're on, relationship with God has to be the foundation of the journey. You know, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 again says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him." You know, this journey, it starts and it remains with Jesus as the foundation for now and forevermore. You know, Jesus provides a solid foundation for us that doesn't change. It remains the same. You know, it's consistent. And you know, if you haven't met Jesus yet, if you haven't got Jesus as your foundation, there'll be opportunity for you to walk in that today. That exciting opportunity that we all have. Because when we go on this journey with Him, and the more time we spend in relationship with God, the more we're able to learn about Him. And the more we become like Him. You know, so what does this practically look like for us? You know, the first key is to spend time in the Word. No, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock." You know, this foundation of spending time in the Word, growing our roots deep into the Word, is that we find purpose. You know, through the Word, we find our purpose. You know, we can find wisdom and we find truth in the Word. You know, for me, when I spend time in the Word and I allow God to speak to me, you know, I feel energized. I feel encouraged. You know, there's such power in the Word. You know, something that I can't explain happens when you receive revelation from God through His Word. You know, the second is spending time in God's presence, spending time in relationship with God. And you know, these things, they seem really simple. They seem really easy, but that's because they are. But it doesn't mean that we always do them. It doesn't mean that that's always where we find our foundation. You know, these things, where they're seen in the example that Jesus displayed for us. You know, in Matthew 14, 23, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. And Mark 6, 46 says, after telling everyone goodbye, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. And Luke 5, 16, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. You know, this is the example that Jesus gave for us. You know, it sounds simple, but it is such a key to having our foundation on Jesus, to growing deep roots in relationship with God. You know, because it's in these moments that we create space for allowing God to speak into our hearts. We shut out all the distractions, everything that's going on in our world, and He can speak life into us. He can speak encouragement into us. He can bring joy and peace and strength into us through these moments. So, if we look at the time that Jesus spent with the Father, time in prayer, and what the result of that is that Jesus saw things in the Spirit that the others didn't. You know, He saw the way that God saw things. He didn't see things the way even the disciples saw things. And that's because time causes us to recognize the voice of God. And not only do we learn to recognize the voice of God, we learn to recognize when things contradict the voice of God. You know, can you recognize someone you know well immediately when they call you on the phone? You know, even though the phone's not amazing quality, we can still hear that voice. Even if they call you from a private number, you know straight away. That's the same with our relationship with God, that we build a recognition of His voice. And when we hear a voice that isn't His, we can say, that's not His voice. That's not the voice of God. I know the voice of God because I've spent time listening to it. The second thing is that you can recognize the heart of God. You know, understand God's heart towards you and understand God's heart towards others. You know, when you spend time with God, you catch a glimpse of His heart, and it continues to grow inside of you and inside of you so that your heart can align with His. You know, in Matthew 14, we saw that Jesus sent the others ahead of Him so He could spend time with the Father, and He sends them out on the boat and things get a little bit dicey for them. There's a storm, so He walks on water out to them on the boat, which is pretty incredible. And you know, when He gets to the other side, He could perform many miracles. You know, there's two things there. Jesus spending time with the Father, He didn't have the fear that the disciples had when the storm hit, because He knew God's heart towards Him. And He could also see sick people in a different way to what the disciples could as well. You know, in Matthew 14, 36, it says, so they brought Him all their sick, begging Him to let them touch the fringe of His cloak, and everyone who touched it was instantly healed. You know, by spending time with the Father, Jesus could access this amazing power to see these miracles, you know, to walk in everything that He was purposed for by spending time with the Father. You know, that's the same for us. You know, spending time with the Father, we catch His heart for us, His heart for others, and we recognize His voice. Now, can I encourage you this morning that trees are stronger when they're planted together? You know, never underestimate the importance of the people that God's placed in your life. Because when trees are planted together, they work together as an ecosystem. You know, they can wrap their roots around each other. They can protect each other from the wind and the elements and provide shade to the smaller, younger trees. But what's important is that they're also united in the same source. You know, all the trees, they gather their nutrients from the same ground, from the same water source. You know, Colossians chapter 2 verse 5 says, "For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit." You know, this unity that Paul's talking about, it's not talking about when we say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't be at your birthday party, but I'll be there in spirit." You know, that's not what Paul's talking about. It's not what you say to make the person feel better when you're not going to be there. He's talking about this is a relationship, being united in spirit. You know, unity isn't just about getting along. It's not just about creating harmony, but it's about being united in spirit. You know, being on the same journey and being on the same mission. You know, there's a spiritual connectedness in unity because the source is the same source. You know, we all have the same source, and that is Jesus. You know, our journey might look different. Our growth rate might look different, but we're all drawing from the same source, and that unites us. You know, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed." And you know, we can help each other succeed. We can help each other in the mission that God has called us to. You know, we can go on a journey together. You know, if you've been in church for a while, you might have heard about the word accountability. And you know, often we think about this as a dirty word. You know, it's about we stop each other from sinning. That's what accountability is. But can I encourage you that accountability is not about legalism, but it's about lifting each other up, encouraging each other. You know, it's not even so much about telling each other what not to do, but encouraging each other in what we should be doing. Amen? Amen. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verse 12 says, "An enemy might be able to defeat one person, but two people can stand back to back to defend each other. And three people are even stronger. They are like a rope that has three parts wrapped together. It is very hard to break." You know, oftentimes we ask the Holy Spirit for guidance. We ask the Holy Spirit for answers, but sometimes it doesn't come in the way we expect it to. You know, never underestimate the importance of the people that God has placed in your life. You know, because we've been placed together, we can help each other find our blind spots. You know, two people standing back to back, that's a great defense. You know, we've got each other's backs. And you know, how can we know if what people are saying to us lines up with the Word of God? Well, it's about recognizing God's voice. You know, does what people are encouraging me in line up with God's heart? Does it line up with what I'm reading in His Word? Because the most important part of our unity is the third strand. The most important part is the Holy Spirit. It's that we're drawing from the same source. You know, because although trees can strengthen each other, they can add to the ecosystem, they can't be the source for each other. They can provide support, but the source has to be from God. You know, the next thing is that growth and rest aren't mutually exclusive. You know, growth and rest aren't mutually exclusive. They are both part of the process. They are both part of the journey. You know, when something is planted, it goes through seasons. And it continues through these seasons as it grows. You know, seasons where there's sprouting, where there's fresh buds, there's fresh life, fresh fruit. Seasons of growth, seasons of harvest, but there's also seasons of rest and seasons of recovery. Because if there's going to be growth, there also needs to be rest. You know, in trees and in horticulture, it's called dormancy. You know, because most trees don't grow continuously throughout the year. You know, most of them have spurts of active expansion, but then afterwards there's a period of rest, a period of dormancy. And you know, the purpose of this is to restore the nutrients that were given out during that time. You know, restore the nutrients that were lost through the fruit that was grown. But also to counteract the elements of the season. You know, that when the season is winter, that there's a time for rest. You know, all of this rest is for the purpose of being able to grow again and to be able to bear fruit again when the time comes. Because can I encourage you that this journey that we're all on, it's a race of endurance. You know, it's not a sprint. You know, there's some seasons in life where God calls us to slow down for a bit, to rest in Him, to spend time growing. Because that allows us to run the race for the long course. Because it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. You know, and our God, our gracious Father, He gives us time. He gives us wisdom. He gives us grace to rest. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." You know, when we spend time in rest, it's about fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because how well you look after yourself in the in-between is so important. You know, in between the periods of growth. Because can I encourage you that it allows you to move into your next season with strength. It allows you to move into your next season refreshed and nourished and ready for what God has for you. You know, in agriculture, we spend time preparing the crops for the next season. You know, it's not just that when we get to harvest time, we're done and then we don't do anything to prepare the soil for next year. You know, we have to give the soil back the nutrients that the plants took out of it. We have to revitalize what has been taken out. And you know, for me, in these seasons of rest, it allows me to take time to step back and see all that God has done as well. You know, if I just keep on the process of growing and trying to bear fruit all the time, I can miss what God's been doing. You know, I don't want to get bogged down in just the routine of life, that I miss what God's been doing, that I miss the fruit that God has been harvesting. Because we don't always see it when it's happening, but we can see it after when God reveals it to us in our time of rest. And you know, I can't give out when I'm empty. You know, if I don't have anything to give, then there's literally nothing to give. And I start to give out of myself instead of what God has for me. So at times it definitely might feel counterproductive. You know, resting. Why aren't I growing right now? Why isn't God doing this? Why isn't this promise happening? Maybe you're in a season of rest. Maybe God's preparing you for what He has next for you. No, in January, we did a bit of a backyard blitz. We did. It was great. It's a bit sarcastic. There's a photo. So we had these lovely banana trees. Please never plant banana trees ever, because I had to remove them and that wasn't fun. So I think we have a photo of the process as well. They have a lot of roots. And that really wasn't fun. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody, not even to my enemies. But these lovely banana trees, they were standing in the way of what we were wanting to do in our backyard. And you know, it took so much time and effort to remove them. You know, it was actually like, it was a 2-day process just to get the things out. With 3 or 4 people. Yeah, it was. That was a marathon, not a sprint, for sure. But by being able to remove these things, what we could replace it with was so much better than what we had before. And, you know, sometimes as a part of our growth and as a part of our learning, there also needs to be a time of unlearning. Because spiritual growth is as much about unlearning and being renewed in the things of God as it is about learning. You know, in horticulture, there's the concept of the law of the minimum. You know, it's about the growth of the plant is limited by the limiting nutrient. you know, plants need all these things to grow, and it can only grow to the potential of the one that is the least. You know, it can be easy for us to talk about all the things we want to achieve, all the things that we're good at, that we want to get better at, that we can forget about the things that we need to move on from, that the things that we need to cut off, the things that we need to remove from our lives, and the things that we need to unlearn. Because that's not a fun journey. Just like removing those banana trees, it wasn't a fun journey. But it was all worth it in the end. You know, and can I encourage you that these things that we might have picked up on our journey, things from our family of origin, hurts and traumas that we've gone through, things in the environment that we've picked up, that it's not your fault. You know, it's not your fault. It's not a point of shame. We need to understand God's heart towards us, that it's not a point of shame. You know, in horticulture, we spend a great deal of time preparing the soil before we plant something. But that can't always be said for the things that get thrown us in life. You know, things that we're not prepared for. You know, we pick up things on the journey that we didn't intend, and God doesn't want us to keep carrying them. You know, we need to spend time removing these things that we have been rooted in. And you know, this morning I believe that this is a moment of healing for some people here. You know, and can I encourage you that in Romans chapter 12 verse 2 it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." You know, it's God that does the transforming work. You know, all we need to do is allow Him to start the process. Allow Him to begin the process of healing, the process of unlearning. You know, this isn't something that we need to do alone. So there's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 to 19 that I just want to pray over you this morning. So if you feel that there's anything that God's calling you to remove, to unlearn, to start this process, just allow yourself to receive from Him right now. It says, "I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." You know, my prayer is that you would continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of you, continue to process you, to allow that process of healing to continue. You know, after the service today, there'll be an opportunity for prayer if you would like that as well, or I'd encourage you to seek out a pastoral appointment as well so that you can have someone stand with you as you go on this process. So what are the results of having deep roots? The first is that healthy things grow. You know, the health of the tree and the fruit that the tree produces is a direct result of the health of the roots of the tree. You know, what is unseen? And the deeper that the roots are, the harder it is to move the tree. You know, when the storms come, when the weather, when the wind raises, you know, the deeper the roots are, the more likely it is that the tree will still be standing afterwards. You know, we can declare this promise from Psalm 62 from verse 5 over ourselves. It says, "I must calm down and turn to God. He is my only hope. He is my rock, the only one who can save me. He is my high place of safety where no army can defeat me. My victory and honor come from God. He is the mighty rock where I am safe. People, always put your trust in God. Tell Him all your problems. God is our place of safety." You know, when we're deeply rooted in the Word, we can hold on to promises like this, that when the storm gets nasty, that we can still be standing on the other side, that we can continue to walk in everything that He has for us. And through all of these things, when we have deep roots, when our foundation is strong in Jesus, it results in us going. You know, Mark 16:15, one of our declaration scriptures for the year. It says, and then he told them, you are to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere. You know, the encouragement this morning is the healthy things bear good fruit. You know, the fruit that a tree produces, it physically carries the nutrients that were brought up out of the ground. It physically carries the nutrients that were brought up out of the source. And could I encourage you that when you're planted in God, the fruit that you carry, the fruit that you produce in your life, you carry the nutrients that God has given to you. You carry the character that God has given to you. You carry the power that He has given to you. You know, sometimes the idea of going into all the world can be a little bit confronting. You know, maybe it can cause you to doubt. Maybe it can cause you to fear. And that can be because we've seen what going looks like for some people. But can I encourage you that just because that was what God had called that person to doesn't mean that that's what you're called to do. You know, our going looks different for each of us. God has gifted you uniquely. God has created you uniquely. He has purposed you uniquely. And only you can carry out that purpose. You know, when you do it, you carry His power, you carry His strength. Because when a tree produces fruit, the fruit that it produces and the leaves that fall to the ground, you know, those nutrients are re-sown into the environment around it. And you know, when a tree is healthy, this process happens naturally. You know, when the tree has strong roots, this process happens naturally. The tree bears great fruit, and it's sown into the environment. You know, what you invest into others is a direct result of what you are nourished with. It's a direct result of where your source is. You know, quite often we can go through life. You know, we might have a job. We might have a community group we're a part of. We might have friends that we meet with regularly, and maybe that just feels like it's just a part of my life. But can I encourage you this morning to ask the question of what environment has God placed you in? You know, who has God placed you in the life of? You know, we talk a lot about who God has placed in your life, but whose life have you been placed in by God? You know, where has God positioned you? Where has God positioned you? Because in your going, let your life be a letter of recommendation. You know, as you are planted and as you go out into your world where God has placed you, it's the Holy Spirit who pours out life. You know, is that your desire this morning, that where it is that God has placed you, that you would pour out life into it? You know, when we have such an amazing foundation, the Spirit pours out life through it. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2-6 says, for your very lives are our letter of recommendation, permanently engraved on our hearts, recognized and read by everybody. As a result of our ministry, you are living letters written by Christ, not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not carved onto stone tablets, but on the tablets of tender hearts. We carry this confidence in our hearts because of our union with Christ before God. Yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. For our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. He alone makes us adequate ministers who are focused on an entirely new covenant. Our ministry is not based on the letter of the law, but through the power of the Spirit, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit pours out life. You know, it's not about what you say. It's not about how well you can convince people to have a relationship with God. It's the Spirit in you that pours out life. And it's part of the natural process of having deep roots in Jesus. You know, your letter of recommendation is centered around your relationship with God. You know, your testimony is so powerful regardless of how insignificant it feels to you, your testimony is so powerful. You know, God wants to bring amazing fruit out of your testimony. All you have to do is share it. All you have to do is open up your testimony to others. You know, this letter of recommendation that we provide, it's not heavy, it's tender, and it's long-lasting. You know, the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of the people who bring good news. You know, bringing the good news, going, it's tender, it's beautiful, it's life-giving. Can I encourage you that you share the good news in just the way you live your life, in having a solid foundation in Jesus. Be encouraged that as you remain planted, that you carry the very nature and the very power of Jesus, and that He can work through you in your everyday life. You know, it doesn't have to look like some incredible miracle, but it can just happen in your everyday life. You know, don't underestimate what God can do through something so small, something so simple, so insignificant. God has so much in store for each of us. You know, wherever you're at in your journey, God has a beautiful plan for you. God has a beautiful plan of growth, of bearing fruit for you. You know, there's nobody that can't receive that. You know, that is for each of us. God's amazing plan for each of us. And you know, this morning, maybe you haven't started this journey with Jesus. Maybe you're planted in something else and you don't have relationship with God yet. Well, my encouragement this morning is that God's heart for you is that you would know His grace. That this morning that you would receive His love, that you would receive His forgiveness, that you would receive His peace, His joy. Because Jesus made a way for you and He made a way for me to be in relationship with God. You know, He provides a solid foundation for us to build our lives upon. You know, that verse from Colossians 2 verse 7 says, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong into the truth that you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. You know, we go through life looking for answers. We go through life looking for something to set our foundation on, something to build upon, you know, something that is unchanging, something that's solid. And, you know, the reason for that is that we're created to live a life with Jesus as our foundation. Jesus is the foundation of our journey. And, you know, that journey begins with acknowledging Jesus as your Savior. And today you can make a decision to take the first step in that journey. You know, and all it is to begin with is just praying a prayer to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and you enter into the freedom and life that He has for you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. So if you'd all like to close your eyes and pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for the grace that you've given to me. Today I make the decision to start the journey with you. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I thank you, God, that today I begin my journey with you. I thank you for the solid foundation that you provide for me. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or maybe you had a relationship with Jesus at some point and you've made the decision this morning to come back to that, congratulations. You know, that's incredible. And we want to make sure that we equip you and that we resource you well in this. So I would encourage you that if you made that decision this morning to come and speak to myself or one of the other pastors after the service, if you're watching online as well, you can connect with our team in the chat. And we also want to equip you with a Bible if you don't have a Bible, and some resources for how you can start your walk well. So if you're online, you can go to gc.org.au/firststeps, because we want to cheer you on in this decision that you have made.